We're going to continue on today, and probably next week we'll finish up with these prophecies that God has told Israel from the very beginning about this land that he is going to settle the Israelites in and how it's going to work. From last week, we showed several of these verses, and these verses are all the way throughout the Old Testament, and the Jews have always looked at these verses as their prophecies from God about the land that they dwell in. And some of these prophecies that God talks about, he says, now here's the way this is going to work. My covenant with you about this land that you're going to settle in, the land is unconditionally yours, and my covenant is forever. However, the conditional part of this land has to do with your obedience. If you obey, you will possess the land will be blessed, it will be productive. If you disobey, the land will be desolate, and I will scatter you among all the nations. So he tells them up front how it's going to be. And so the land is unconditionally theirs, and it's theirs forever. He makes a covenant with the Israelites right before he brings them in. This is in Deuteronomy, right before the Israelites come into the promised land. And he says, I want to renew my covenant with you. The same covenant I made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I want to make with the Israelites at that time, 1400 B.C. Now then he says, my covenant has to do with you who are present here today and all of those who are not present with us today. Meaning, my covenant is with you and your descendants after you for all time. This covenant is forever. And he tells them, wherever I disperse you, he said, I'm never going to completely destroy you. Because he can't destroy the nation of Israel or the people of Israel, or that breaks his covenant. God can't do that. So no matter where they're scattered, no matter where they wind up, there's always going to be a remnant of Israel. And as we see, and I'll get into it a little more today, there have always been, since 1400 B.C., Jewish people in Israel. The vast majority of them were scattered, but there have always been Jewish people in Israel since 1400 B.C. Now, we know that there was one time that he says that I'm going to scatter you, and I'm going to bring you back, but it's going to be for a specific time period, and you're going to be scattered to a specific nation. And we showed the verses where he was going to scatter them to the nation of Babylon, put them in exile, into captivity. But he said in Jeremiah, but that's going to be for a 70-year period. So when you return, it'll only be for 70 years, and you're coming back to the land that I've given you. And sure enough, in 586 B.C. is when the Babylonians took the Israelites captive. They came back in 516 is when they began to come back 70 years later. So a specific scattering to a specific place for a specific time period. Then as we wound up last week, we looked at two sets of scripture in Isaiah and in Amos that are really peculiar because he said at some point in Isaiah, he says, I'm going to reach out my hand a second time and gather the exiles back to Israel. So the first time was Babylonia, the Babylonian captivity, and he gathered them back. And he said, but in the future, I'm going to reach out my hand again a second time and gather them back. And the key was, it spoke about the root of Jesse has to happen first. The Jews have always seen the root of Jesse as being the Messiah. We know it as Jesus Christ, the Messiah being Jesus Christ, a descendant of Jesse and David, King David, and the descendancy through to Jesus. So we know this second time is going to be sometime after the Messiah appears. Okay? Then in Amos, he told about the land's going to be desolate while you're gone. He tells them several times in Leviticus, he says, now you're going to be gone, the land is going to go desolate, but actually it's rejuvenating. It's enjoying its Sabbath rest. So it's being rejuvenated. So that way when you come back, it's going to instantly spring to life and be productive again. Now he says in Amos, he describes this land that's going to come to life again. And he says, when I bring you back, he said, you will never again be uprooted from this land I have given you. So if you put those two things together, then it's like, He's going to bring them back again a second time, sometimes after the Messiah appears. And once he does that, that's going to be the final ingathering for the Jewish people into the land of Israel. So that's where we left last week, and I'm going to continue to show you some more verses that explain this in even more details. Turn to Isaiah, and I'm just giving you pieces of this. There are prophecies. The description of these ingatherings are all the way through the Bible, and it's fascinating to see all of this and put it together. But again, it's the same promises over and over and over. Now, Isaiah, again, is probably prophesying about 100 years or so before the Babylonian captivity. And so some of Isaiah's prophecies have to do with the Babylonian captivity, but then there's others, like the one I showed you in Isaiah 11, that have to happen after the root of Jesse appears, the Messiah. So Isaiah 43:1 says, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name, you are mine." Don't ever forget that. The Jewish people belong to God. He's already told them that. "And I know you by name, I know where you are, and I know how I'm going to bring you back." And then in verse 5, he says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east, gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." So now then, this sounds like it's a little bit beyond Babylon, because he's saying from all the quarters of the earth, the north, south, east, and west, all the nations where I've scattered you, I'm going to bring you back. Babylon was a specific time and nation. So it sounds like it's a lot bigger than that. Isaiah 49 says, Isaiah 49:19, "Though you were ruined and made desolate, and your land laid waste." So again, he's just saying, just like he said in Leviticus and other places, he said, when you're gone, the land is going to be laid waste. Actually, it's going to be rejuvenating, ready for your return, but it's going to look desolate. So that's exactly what he's saying. "Though it was ruined and made desolate, and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people." Now you're going to be too small to contain the people I'm bringing back. "And those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, 'This place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in.' Then you will say in your heart, 'Who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone. But these, where have they come from? Where have all these people come from?'" Well, it's funny because we get to see the outcoming of this. People don't fully understand where all these Jewish people come from when they return to Israel. And just as a matter of interest, just so happens in the nation of India, just about a decade ago, there was a group of people in India that had rituals and beliefs that they thought, you know what, this sounds really Jewish. So they contacted some rabbis in Israel. They talked to them and said, well, that kind of sounds Jewish to us too. So they sent rabbis to India to study this group of people in India, and they came back and said, folks, these people are Jewish. Now then, have you heard the term the lost tribes of Israel? Yeah. They've never really been lost. God knew right where they were all the time. Just say, you know, where did they come from? God knew. Turns out, through the Human Genome Project, which has only been in effect for about 10 years, 13 years or so, couldn't do it until the Human Genome Project began, but they found chromosome markers that say, these people are Jewish. And guess what? They're from that lost tribe of Manasseh. Well, so for about the last decade, these people have been immigrating back into Israel again after 2,000 years or more. Actually, more than that, because if you go back to the Assyrian captivity, this is probably when these groups disappeared. So that was about 700 B.C. So 2,700 years, they've been lost. God knew right where they are. He knows where his people are. So these people that are talking in this prophecy here are like going, where are all these people coming from? Well, God's bringing his people home. That's what it's all about. This is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I will beckon to the Gentiles. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. Now hang on just a second. Hang on. Okay, other places where the term, I will lift up my banner, I will raise my banner, what does that refer to in prophecy? There's other places where that banner is specifically used. It has to do with the Messiah. I'm raising my banner to the nations to draw them. Okay? Again, that's a specific prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. So he says, again, and it happens several times in Isaiah and Jeremiah, I believe, is this banner that he's raising. Well, if that's the Messiah, then when does this ingathering have to occur? Sometime after the Messiah appears. We know that Jesus Christ has come, and so we know that this second ingathering has to happen sometime after Jesus appears. The Jews believe the same thing. Has to happen somewhere after a Messiah comes. They know the same thing. Yet, they're seeing an ingathering happen now, so we're going to talk about that. Then it says, I will beckon to the Gentiles. I'm going to lift my banner up for the Gentile nations, all the nations of the world. And that's what Jesus came to do. And what are they going to do? They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their shoulders. The Gentiles? Guess what's been happening? As the nation of Israel was reborn and the Jewish people began to return to Israel, there are Jewish foundations that fund the Jews' return to Israel. If a Jew wishes, no matter where they are in the world, wishes to return to Israel, they contact these funds and say, these agencies, and say, me and my family would like to return to Israel and make our home in Israel, and they subsidize their return, they help them return. Guess who the second highest contributor to helping the Jews return to Israel is? American Evangelical Christian Churches. It says the Gentiles are going to bring your sons in their arms and carry their daughters on their shoulders. The Gentiles are going to help bring the Jews back to Israel. It says right there, folks. And that's what's happened, especially in about the last decade. The contribution from American Evangelical Christian Churches has gone way up to help bring these people back. Because we know the Bible says what's supposed to happen. So that's one thing behind it that not a lot of people realize. Look at Jeremiah 9. So keep going to the right, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Verse 11. And again, here's this picture that God gives of desolation. Jeremiah 9:11. I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, and I will lay waste the towns of Judah so no one can live there. Then in verse 16. I will scatter them among nations that neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will pursue them with the sword until I've destroyed them. So I'm going to scatter them. They're going to be miserable lives. They're going to be destroyed in places where they live, but never completely. And never, there have always been Jewish people since 1400 BC in the land of Israel. They have never totally left that land. The vast majority of them have been scattered and dispersed throughout the world, but there have always been a few left in the land of Israel. And he says, and those people who are scattered, it's not going to be good for them, but I'm never going to totally destroy them because I can't. I cannot break my covenant. Then in Jeremiah 31, verse 7, again, he says, this is what the Lord says. Sing with joy for Jacob. Shout for the foremost of the nations. Make your praises heard and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I will bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my firstborn son. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Proclaim it in the distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. It says, wherever I've scattered you and made the land desolate, I'm going to bring you back. And it's going to be a productive, blessed land that you're coming back to. It's not going to be easy, but the promise is there. Here's the way it's going to work. And sure enough, next week I'll show you these incredible numbers, what has happened in the land of Israel in the last 60 years. I mean, you can't argue it. It's undeniable what has been going on for the last 60 years. Okay? So we're going to look at that probably next week. Now then, Ezekiel, so keep going to the right, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. And remember that last verse talking about the shepherd of the flock of Israel, okay? Because that's about to come up again. Ezekiel prophesies immediately before the Babylonian captivity. And so a lot of Ezekiel's prophecies pertain just to Babylon. But then there are prophecies that we're about to read that you can't explain just within the bounds of the Babylonian captivity. So it has to be outside those bounds sometime in the future. Ezekiel 11, 16, and I'm just picking these highlights. If you go back and read the full chapters, there's more packed into all of these things than I can cover. I mean, it's just full of these descriptions of the land and the Jewish people. So Ezekiel 11, 16, therefore say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, although I sent them far away among the nations and scattered them among the countries, yet for a little while I have been a sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will gather you from the nations and bring you back from the countries where you've been scattered, and I will give you back the land of Israel again. Now then, this early in the book of Isaiah, the interpretation is usually that these verses pertain to the Babylonian captivity. Even though he talks about countries and nations, they still think it's Babylon. Well, okay, that's fine. Let's let them have that and say, okay, this is just Babylon. Well, then turn over to Ezekiel 34. Now, Ezekiel 34, we touched on in our lesson of the sheep and the goats, the judgment between the sheep and the goats, and looked at Ezekiel 34 as the prototype, the prototype of Jesus' judgment, because this is a judgment on the leaders and the shepherds of Israel, the elders of Israel, and judging them because they did not take care of the flock of Israel that God had entrusted them. And so he's telling the leaders and the spiritual leaders and elders of Israel, since you didn't do what I entrusted you to do, here's what's going to happen. So Ezekiel 34 and verse 5 and 6 first says, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. So, again, this picture of the flock of Israel being scattered over the whole earth, and nobody went out to gather them in. Nobody went out to look for them, take care of them. Wherever they were, they had to suffer with the animals because no one took care of them when they were scattered. Then in verse 12, God says, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. So who's got to do this? Well, since nobody else is doing it, God says, I've got to do this myself. Just like he said to Isaiah, I am that shepherd that's going to go gather these people in. I'm bringing them back. So since nobody else can do it, God has to do it. Then in verse 23, he says, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them, and he will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. All right, so here's the other clue. This other ingathering has to be, again, after the Messiah. Because it can't be King David that he's talking about, because when Ezekiel is prophesying, this is probably 400 years or so after King David died. So who is this servant David? The Jews say, it's the Messiah. We say, it's Jesus Christ. So when does this other ingathering have to occur? sometime after the King David comes. Well, we see this also as, we know Jesus came as a suffering servant to die for people's sin and give salvation and eternal life when he came first time. The second time, we believe he is coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and reigning over the world. Well, who's he talking about here? A reigning king. Okay? So here's how it's piecing together. This can't be Babylon. It's got to be in the future. It's got to be in the future when all of this occurs. So this is further verified in chapters 36 and 37 of Ezekiel. Let's look at verse 16, 36:16 first. And again, if you read these chapters, they're just packed with information. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, when the people of Israel were living in their own land, they defiled it by their conduct and their actions. Their conduct was like a woman's monthly uncleanness in my sight. When they turned away from me, when they started paying attention to other idols and disobeying me, after I brought them into this promised land, that's how unclean it was in my sight. So what did he do? Well, I've got to scatter them. I'm going to scatter them. That's how much it offended the Lord for them to do what they did. So I poured out my wrath on them because they had shed blood in the land and because they had defiled it with their idols. I dispersed them among the nations and they were scattered through the countries. I judged them according to their conduct and their actions, and wherever they went among the nations, they profaned my holy name. For it was said of them, these are the Lord's people, and yet they had to leave his land. I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations where they had gone. Everywhere they were scattered, the nations of the world said, well, I thought you were the chosen people of God. Must not be much of a God. They profaned his name among the nations, as planned, actually. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations, and I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove you from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You'll be my people, and I will be your God. So, for whose sake is he going to bring them back? His own name. He says, I've got to make my name good in the world because you haven't helped any. He says, but remember, it was my covenant that made all this possible. And he says, as I bring you back, I hope the nations of the world look and see what's happening and go, that's just what God said would happen. Isn't God great? Doesn't he keep his word? Isn't he faithful for thousands of years? Because that proves it, that he's bringing his people back. It is God's holy name that has to stand. And so he says, so as I bring you back, I hope they notice. Then there's another clue in here. He says, when I bring you back, what is he going to do? I'm going to put what? His spirit in them. Okay, how does that happen? Only after the Messiah. Only after Jesus Christ comes and dies on the cross and is resurrected can the Holy Spirit come and dwell in people. So again, here's another clue. It has to be after the Messiah, this other end gathering. It has to be sometime after that. Yes? Right.
Initially, all of this, what they hated about the Jews, supposedly, was that they were Christ killers.
Right. to revert. And that's what, and what she's saying is, the nations where the Jews were scattered, some of the persecution began in those nations by saying, you are the people who killed our Savior. That's a black eye in Christianity for saying, punish the entire Jewish world because their ancestors killed Christ. But yet that's what happened. So through that, God's name was profaned. Yet God's long-term plan is, and it's Paul talks about it in Romans 9, 10, 11, he says he did that to allow the word of Christ to spread throughout the world and then to make the Jews jealous because all of these Gentiles have a relationship with God. And he makes the Jewish people jealous to bring them back to God. You know, see, we could have never written that. It wouldn't make sense. Again, this scripture is real and can only be handled by God himself, someone who exists outside of time with an eternal perspective. Who could have planned that? Nobody but God. We would have never written it that way. It would have been a lot different. Been a lot easier on us, you know. Write it for us. Okay, so because of their uncleanness, I scattered them. And it's not for you that I bring you back, but to uphold my name. But I'm going to gather you and bring you back. So then the future action is after he is able to put the Spirit in people, so it has to be after Christ. So it has to be the second dispersion. The first dispersion and regathering was Babylon 586 to 516. The second dispersion was prophesied by Jesus in his time about the temple being torn down and the Jews being scattered. And sure enough, in 70 AD, that's what happened. And the Jews were dispersed, and they've been dispersed for almost 2,000 years. Okay? So then Ezekiel 37 comes along. And in this vision, Ezekiel gets this vision of this whole valley that's full of these bleached white bones. And God says in verse 3, he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. That's the big question. Do you think all these bones can come to life, Ezekiel? God, you know. Ezekiel sure didn't. He says, God, you know who can do this. Well, who are these bones? Verse 11. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're cut off. He said, all these bones out here, this is Israel. They're scattered. They're scattered among the nations. They're scattered throughout this valley. Are they going to come to life? Verse 14. He says, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. So, I'm going to bring these bones to life. I'm going to be able to put my spirit in them at some point in the future, and I'm going to bring them back. And verse 21, he says, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from all around and bring them back into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. There will be one king over all of them, and they will never again be two nations or be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols and vile images or with any of their offenses, for I will save them from all their sinful backsliding, and I will cleanse them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. That's what's going to happen when I begin to bring these people back. And how's it going to work? What king is going to rule? Again, verse 24, my servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. So when they return, sometime after they return, who's going to rule over them? My servant David, the Messiah. And we see that as Jesus' second coming when he takes charge and becomes king. Then God promises in Joel, keep going to the right, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Joel 3, he says, sometime in the future, whenever I bring in all my people back, I have to have a judgment. We looked at this as part of the sheep and goats judgment also. Joel 3:1 says, in those days and at that time when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. So I'm going to judge those nations at that time. In those days, at the end of times, after I've gathered my people in, I'm going to judge the nations of the world. And what's it going to be based on? There I will enter into judgment against them concerning my inheritance, my people Israel. They're going to be judged against his nation of Israel. For they scattered my people among the nations and divided up my land. They cast lots for my people, traded boys for prostitutes. They sold girls for wine and that they might drink. I'm going to judge the nations concerning Israel about them scattering my people, dividing my land, and how they mistreated the Jews. It's right there. That's what he's going to do in the future based on what he how the nations treated his nation of Israel while they were scattered. Now then, keep going to the right to the next to the last book of the Old Testament, Zechariah. Now then, Zechariah prophesies after Babylon. Okay? So the prophecies in Zechariah cannot pertain to the Babylonian captivity. It has to be sometime in the future. Okay? So Zechariah is prophesying. And if you go to Zechariah 7, verse 13, see if this sounds familiar. When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations where they were strangers. The land was left so desolate behind them that no one could come or go. This is how they made the pleasant land desolate. Remember what he told them in Leviticus? So at this time, it's about 900 or 1,000 years or so earlier than Leviticus. He said, you know, when I scatter you, the land is going to go desolate. So he's telling them again about another scattering. When you're gone, the land is going to go desolate. And we're going to look at that next week. Did that really happen? Okay. So he's promising again, this is what it's going to look like when you're gone. People are going to look at this land and go, whew, this land is cursed. We don't want anything to do with this parchment. Okay, so that's what's going to happen. And then Zechariah 8:7 says, this is what the Lord Almighty says, I will save my people from the countries of the east and the west. I will bring them back to live in Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God. This is what the Lord Almighty says, you who now hear these words spoken by the prophets, who were there when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord Almighty. Okay, now who is he talking about there? Put this in context. If this is after Babylon, then who is he talking about in that verse? You who now hear these words spoken by the prophets, who were there when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord Almighty. What foundation of the Lord of the house of the Lord Almighty is he talking about? What's the house of the Lord Almighty? The temple. Remember, this is Jewish, so it has to be the temple. At this point, how many temples have been in existence? Who's the first? Solomon's. After Babylonian captivity, they came back. Zerubbabel rebuilt temple number 2. So he's saying, there were people who read the prophets and who were alive and saw that foundation laid. So at this point, it was probably the Babylonian exiles that came back to the second temple. Okay? Kind of piece that together. Now he says, let your hands be strong so that the temple may be built. Hold it. That's going to be another one. That's what the Jews are looking for today. Temple number 3. That's what they want to build a temple for. Because they believe if the temple is rebuilt, the Messiah will come. So he's saying, there's two things going on here. There was a temple that's already built, and make your hands strong for the next one. Okay? That's what he's saying. And then he goes on. Before that time, there were no wages for man or beast. No one could go about his business safely because of his enemies, for I had turned every man against his neighbor. But now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as I did in the past, declares the Lord Almighty. The seed will grow well, the vine will yield its fruit, the ground will produce its crops, and the heavens will drop their dew. I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of these people. As you have been an object of cursing among the nations, O Judah and Israel, so will I save you, and you will be a blessing. Do not be afraid, but let your hands be strong. You're no longer going to be a cursing out in the nations. You're going to be a blessing. And I hope through this sign of me bringing you back that the nations will point back and say, what a mighty God they serve. He says, that's the promise. Bringing you back. Now then, it's interesting. Does the desert bloom again? Isaiah says that sometime in the future, the desert's going to be blooming again. That's what God just described here. Evidently, things are going to come alive again. Okay, so what happened was in 70 AD, the Jews were scattered to the nations of the world. Guess what? Temple worship ended. There were no more kings. The land went desolate. Next week, we're going to look, see what happened in the last 60 years and finish up here. Any questions? It's flat amazing. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much that you work through open hearts, and thank you for the open hearts of these people, and always willing to watch you work. We stand amazed constantly. We're no longer surprised because you've done it so often, but we are constantly amazed at how you work. God, help us to touch lives halfway around the world, people that we don't even know, but yet we know that they are interested in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for letting us work in your kingdom. Thank you again for your word that stands forever, and that by reading your word, we know that you are active today as ever, and we look forward to the return of your Son, Jesus Christ, who makes it all possible. In his name, amen. Thank y'all.